This podcast replay is brought to you by Sports Grill. With over 35 years of making it special grilled, they're celebrating the start of football season with 15% off all bone-in wings. Visit any of their 7 locations all over South Florida.
Hi, baby. There he is. How you doing, my man?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Cannot complain. Just rocking. And getting ready for a little interesting off season. We'll see. We'll see if the Dolphins can finally turn the corner. You watching any of the basketball or the hockey?
I have been. I haven't the last day and a half or so because I'm up in Green Bay and I'm working on a few different stories up here. But I've certainly followed it. I know the Nuggets are finals bound, and the Heat couldn't finish off the Celtics last night. Well, I think they eventually will. The Panthers can't lose a game. I don't know how the Panthers continue to do this, but it's one hell of a run. They've won 3 games by 1 goal each, including 2 in overtime. And another game, they got outshot 2-1, and they won 1-0. But Bobrovsky, who was pretty washed up all year long, now is playing like God. So it's a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, I actually think the Panthers are more real than the Heat. I think the Heat have done a marvelous job of overachieving, and they've got, I think, maybe the best coach in the NBA in Eric Spoelstra. Yeah. But I think the Panthers are actually for real, and they just kind of they weren't healthy most of the year. They got healthy towards the end. You had a new coach, an entire new system, because they went from that open style, scoring 4 billion goals and all that, to more of a grinded out style and more physical, which is more suited for playoff hockey. And I just think I had some fun. I said, who's the best third wheel, Carter Verhaeghe or Tyler Hero? And, you know, it's like, and I could tell people don't follow hockey nearly as much, but Verhaeghe's a 40 goal scorer. And he was the guy that showed up last year in the playoffs, not Barkov or Huberto. It was him, actually. And again, this year, 40-goal scorer, big goals and big moments, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what I think. The Sam Bennett's of the world, the Reinhardts. I just think around Tkachuk and Barkov, I just think they're more talented. They actually have more players that are actually really, really good. Then I like the undrafted kids that we have, but again, I just don't think they're kind of the guys that we're talking about with the Panthers. So I kind of feel the Panther run is more legit. And you follow hockey. If your goaltender is hot, dude,
can win.
Oh my God. It changes everything.
It's everything. I mean, look, there's a few things right now in Florida. One is Tkachuk is the best player in the playoffs this year. I mean, McDavid was before they went out, but McDavid is like, you know, today's Gretzky. But Tkachuk's been the best player to this point in the playoffs. Bobrovsky's been better than anybody could have imagined, and
He's back to Columbus, Bob.
Yeah, he is right now. And then the other part of this is, you know, people forget that last year the Panthers were the top seed in the East. I mean, they were a really, really good team. That just this year, as you mentioned, look, there's a lot of change. I mean, they made a trade in the offseason with Tkachuk that a lot of people thought was nuts when they did it. I mean, a lot of people are like, they're trading away 2 big pieces for 1. Well, it's worked out. Calgary couldn't even make the playoffs. And, you know, Florida, here we sit.
You know, last year I said you have to trade Huberto. Well, last year towards the end of the season, I said this team cannot be led by 2 guys that don't have any personality, that don't have any fire. Because Barkov, God bless him, he's a hell of a player, but he's not getting in anybody's face. He's not rattling anybody's cage. He's not going to intimidate anybody. He's not going to instigate anything. And Hubie's the same way. And to me, yeah, and in hockey, I'm sorry, you gotta have some fire. And when they got Tkachuk, that's when I went crazy. I was like, okay.
It's interesting. I will say this. I think it's you know, sports can turn on such a little pivot. And the Panthers were down 3-1 in Boston in game 5 in overtime. And nobody thought they were going to win that game. They win it. They go to game 6. That game's wild. There's back and forth. They're down in the third period. They come back, they win that game. And then in game seven, they're down a goal with under a minute to go in the game. And they tie the game and obviously ultimately win it. They've been an amazing story. And personally, I will add this. I know there's been a lot of talk over the last couple, week and a half in hockey circles about, well, geez, the conference finals, it's these four warm weather teams, and there's no blue bloods, and is it bad for the sport? And frankly, I don't like to curse, but that's the biggest crock of shit on the face of the earth. People right. who are fans in Toronto and Boston are not going anywhere. They're going to be fans of the team. You need right. to grow the game in places like South Florida, where the Panthers historically have had a hard time drawing. As someone who loves this.
Well, they've been a bad franchise. Now they're
happened, right. I mean, they've not been competitive for most of their history. And you know what? As someone who loves the sport, who's grown up on the sport, I love turning on game three and seeing that place packed. I mean, that's how you build fan bases. You win. Vegas has been one of the most successful expansion franchises in the history of pro sports. Like, they will build a fan base because it's fun, it's exciting, it's a happening. And if the Panthers continue to win, kids who are watching right now will become fans. And younger people who can start to afford it will buy season tickets. That's how you build fan base. I don't care that Toronto's not in the Eastern Conference final. That team could go 0-82 next year and sell out every game. I don't care. You need to grow the game with these other fan bases, and it's been really fun to watch.
And by the way, all the blue bloods have made it in the past. Did it make the sport that much better or anything? No, it hasn't done anything.
The whole sport. The whole sport. You need to just the top six markets.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, just in case anybody listening out there, you're a Vegas fan, you have tickets. If you have an extra one you want to invite me, I'll fly over for one of the Panthers Knights games, okay, just in case. So if there's any offers out there for a ticket, I will fly out there and join you for a game. Have some fun. I am dying to go to a Vegas game because the presentation for the opening of the game.
It's a party.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. That thing must be a really good thing. All right. Let's go around the NFL a little bit here. Were there tremors in New York after the calf injury for Aaron Rodgers? And you almost have to say, oh shit, 39 years old. Maybe this is why he also did not go to the OTAs. Like, does the old man really need to be there? Like yesterday, you got OTAs with the Dolphins and Teron Armstead's hanging out. Like, what do you need him out there for in OTAs? You know what I'm saying? But, and I get it, new team, new players, all that kind of stuff. But I think some seismic readings out there after a calf injury for the 39-year-old.
I mean, look, I think he should have been at the OTA, and I think he should be participating, and sometimes it's just bad luck, and these things happen. I always am concerned. I mean, look, he's had significant calf injuries before. So whenever something like that happens, you'll look at it and say, okay, is it a little thing? You know, you're always going to get the team that says, it's nothing. He'll be back, right away. Okay, well, that's fine. But does he have another calf injury at mandatory minicamp? Is this something that lingers? I mean, when you're 39, it takes longer to recover and you're more likely to get re-injured. And if you're the Jets, I've said this here, I've said this a bunch of places, I've written this a bunch of places. If you're the Jets, this is your year. It has to be. This is not a five-year trade. This is not a three-year trade.
You don't have time for that.
This may not be a two-year trade. Like, you need to win now, right now. And so the concern is, listen, do I think that this specific injury is going to hurt him long term? No. But if it becomes a recurring problem, will he play on it? Yeah. Will it impact him? Yeah. And that's where you just worry. He was not healthy a lot of those final years in Green Bay. A lot of those years he played, but he always had something going on, right? Last year, if memory serves, he had a thumb injury. There was a rib injury during the middle of the season that I think he sustained in Philadelphia. Like, those are the concerns you have, because if you're the Jets, Rodgers just playing 17 games isn't enough. He's got to be the Rodgers he was a couple years ago. Like, playing 17 games is fine and well, but if he plays 17 games like he played last year, who cares? You're not even making the playoffs. You need him to be, if not the MVP candidate, close. A guy who's thrown for 4,500 yards and 32 touchdowns and being being last year's Rodgers, who didn't throw one time for 300 yards, yeah, that's not going to cut it. That's not good enough. And so, yeah, anytime there's a little injury here that you always, always are concerned about a guy who's 39 with a history of it.
By the way, I just saw this on neuroscientists and neurosurgeons have reestablished communication between the brain and spinal cord, allowing a paralyzed person to walk again.
That'd be unbelievable. That'd be amazing.
Holy shit. That's Sky News reporting that. That is, wow. I'm gonna retweet it, by the way, if you guys want to read that. But that is, wow. I got to read that when we get a break on that one. That got my attention there. All right, so let's move over to the running backs. Dude, where are we headed with this position? Because Austin Eckler, you know, like, you're a running back and you're just the league's bitch, basically. You know, unless you're this Derrick Henry type that maybe, you know, you're so freakish that, and there's only one or two every 10 or 20 years or whatever, that, okay, they're dying to re-sign you. But nowadays, running backs are one contract players more often than not. Yep. You're not even drafting them in the first round. I mean, maybe if you can avoid the second round too, because again, they're one contract players and you're like, yo, dude, I'd rather get this tackle or this corner or this linebacker where I know I can get a second year out of them, where this guy, I may wear him out and I don't need him. So the guys have to know this. Agents have to know this. Parents have to know this. Kids are going to know about this, the way things are being treated. So Eckler has to kill himself just to get $2 million in incentives, which, sure, he's going to be a free agent, it says, you know, next year at 27 or 28. But what if you blow out your knee now, bro? And you're talking about a contact sport. Plus, nobody really gives big money to running backs.
Right.
Saquon Barkley turning down a deal that could go up to $14 million per year, which for an injury-prone running back like him, I would have taken that deal in a heartbeat, knowing the now maybe this whole thing with the quarterback and the tag and all that pissed him off to the point that he doesn't want to be there anymore, because that's kind of what you're saying by turning down that contract. Like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to be with you guys anymore. Whatever. I don't know. But where are we headed with running backs? Because it's a dynamic that the human being has to see, that you're not valued,
right,
like are in other positions in the league. You know, they value a corner more and a quarterback and a tackle and a middle linebacker and whatever, but the running back, where are we headed with this position? Because everything is altered. How you draft them, how you think about them long term, what you pay them, how you use them. You and I, a lot of us grew up with bell cows.
Yeah.
That shit don't exist anymore, bro.
It does.
You know what I mean? Where are we headed with the running back?
I think if I'm a college running back with the hope of being drafted, I am learning how to catch the ball and I am learning how to run routes. Because to me, I think you have to be that guy to have any chance of being a two or three contract running back. I mean, you've got to almost be a receiver, right? I mean, look at who's getting paid. You mentioned Henry, because Henry is the dying dinosaur, you know, and by the way,
he's having trouble for his third contract now. Even the freak that he is, there's some trepidation about, dude, this guy's got the odometer's gone around a time or two here. Are we ready to get him? So even a freak is having trouble for his third contract.
If you look around the league, you know, I mean, Christian McCaffrey is a perfect example of, like, he's a do-it-all. I mean, he can catch the ball. And he got two big contracts beyond his rookie year. I mean, the Carolina traded him because they were rebuilding, but Carolina gave him a big deal, right? And now, and actually, I should say he's playing that out. So he's on his second deal. And if he continues to play like this, he'll get a third deal. I think another example is actually, ironically, Eckler, who is on his second contract right now. But you're right, like, he's having a hard time getting a third one. But I think if he goes out and has 90 receptions this year, he'll get one somewhere. Now, will he get one with the Chargers? Maybe not, because they're in a cap crunch. but he'll get one somewhere.
By the way, his second contract wasn't like this franchise altering thing.
It was good, but it wasn't. It wasn't
Robert's first contract, so they gave him a little bit extra. You know, it wasn't like anything.
Yeah. But I think to have a chance to get paid a massive amount of money, you have to be able to play in the slot, play outside, catch the ball. I mean, otherwise, teams don't run the ball enough. They just don't. I mean, most teams, like in Tennessee's perfect example, team does run the ball a lot. It's the way they like to play. But like most teams, I'll give an example. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl with Isaiah Pacheco. Okay. Isaiah Pacheco is probably not getting a second contract in Kansas City when the time comes. Probably just not getting it. He's a seventh round pick out of Rutgers, who the Chiefs are going to look at and go, that's great. We're going to get, you know, we'll get 4 years out of him. Maybe you tag him, right? If he becomes like an all-pro level player, maybe you tag him. And then you move on. Because
it's not a crippling number. The tag is no longer a crippling number.
You can pay that. The Eagles, who were in the Super Bowl, just got an incredible year out of Miles Sanders, who also was very good the year prior. He went to Carolina. Gone. See you. Doesn't matter, right? Because when you rank the players in Philadelphia's offense, who's most important? Well, it's going to start with Hurts because he's quarterback. Then you're going to go to the two receivers. Then you're going to probably, before Sanders, go to every single one of those offensive linemen, right? He's like ninth, and you could argue he's less important than Goddard.
He's behind corners. He's behind corners, bro.
I'm just talking on the offense. He's like ninth. Right. When you look at Kansas City, as good as Pacheco is, he's not as important as any one of those linemen. He's not as important as Mahomes. He's not as important as Kelce. I mean, you could – and you know, look, after that, you could make the argument, so maybe he's eighth. But, like, that's where you sit. Like, if he gets hurt, they'll plug Jerick McKinnon in. And Jerick McKinnon had 10 touchdowns last year. Like, it's fine. And that's where – I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who the Chiefs took as a luxury pick in the first round, he can't even get on the field. They don't care. Like, they declined his option. He'll be gone after next year, and they'll move on. They won't care.
They won't be drafting a lot of running backs from here on out in the first round. That's going to end too for the Chiefs too. Because
I was surprised, honestly.
And by the way, I love your point on learn to catch. It's equivalent to you play power forward, you play center. Oh, learn to shoot the three, dude.
Step out and shoot. I think the other thing the other thing too that you got to add, or I have to add. You better learn how to block for your quarterback, because if you can't block, you're not playing. In today's game, if you can't block for the quarterback, you're coming off the field at least on third down and probably on second in a lot of situations. Like, you're not going to be on the field. So
that's that has become even more uncomfortable than ever. If you can't block, you may not make teams anymore because it's too pass happy. The league is way too pass happy. You know, if we're in the 90s and we're still playing 3 yards in a cloud of dust,
you get a fullback.
You can get away with that. But
will block. Your fullback. I mean, you're back in the 90s. I mean, look, the best team in the 90s was Dallas. Dallas played with Darryl Johnson on the field almost every snap. Like, he was going to block, right? That was his job. That guy doesn't exist. I mean, how many teams carry a true fullback? Like, that really sees the field. I mean, it sees the field more than, you know, three snaps in a game, right? Almost nobody. I mean, the Niners do with Juszczyk.
We're one of the few. We're one of the few, along with the Niners.
And what is the line there, right? It's McDaniel.
Right.
But I mean, it's rare. Most teams, you know, 25 teams, they don't play a fullback. And so now, if you're the running back, you better be able to catch, and you better be able to run some routes, and you better be able to block. And if you're not that guy, and you come in and you can't really run routes, and your hands aren't that good, and you can't block, I don't care if you run a 4-1-40, you're not playing. You are not getting on the field more than a handful of snaps in the game. So I think that's where this position is headed. And look, we see this. The tight end in the last 20 years has evolved. When I was a kid, other than a few guys, you blocked. That's what you did. You stood on the line. You were a sixth offensive lineman. And on third down, every once in a while, you run a square out and try to catch a five-yard pass. Now, if you can't catch the ball and make a move downfield, you're not going to play. You're going to come in as a second or third guy to block, right? And so positions evolve. That's the way it is.
Yeah, the Novacheks and those kind of guys were rare. There weren't a ton of those. Now it's common. Now it's a normal thing.
You have to be that guy.
DeAndre Hopkins, he's not attending OTAs. Where does he end up? Who signs him? or who trades for him? I'm sorry.
Well, no, I think the first question might be the more pertinent one. Look, I think at some point here, the Cardinals have to make a decision. Okay. So right now, he's almost due $30 million against the cap for Arizona. To pay him that is insane. I mean, there is just no justification for it. Arizona's lucky if it wins four games this year. So if you're the Cardinals, you, in my eyes, have two options, because keeping him on that number is just not, it's a non-starter.
No, no, you got to trade him. You got to trade him. You can't cut him, but you got to trade him.
So after, here are the two options. So once you get to June 1st, okay, then all the numbers change because it's all the post June 1 stuff. So if I'm pulling up his contract right now, because I want to be able to give you guys a full honest answer. So his cap hit right now is 29.98. Okay. Now, if they were to just post June 1, just flat release him, they eat $10.5 million this year and next year, but they save $19.4 this year and $14.9 next year. Now, it's a decent
and they're cheap,
money.
By the way. The Bidwells have always been cheap. Go ahead.
Oh, one of the cheapest. So here's my takeaway on this. If you trade for him, okay, you're not paying that 29.98 number. You're paying his base, which is 19.4. The next year, should you keep him, it's 14.9, but there's no guaranteed money next year, so it's essentially a team option at 14.9. Teams have told the Cardinals at this point, we're not paying that contract. It's not going to happen. So if you're the Cardinals, this is very similar to Baker Mayfield's situation last year. If you're the Cardinals, how much money are you willing to eat to get rid of him? How much? Now, the answer is not going to be more than $10 million, because at that point you just cut him and you'd save the money. Okay.
Yeah, but you got to almost do Cleveland now. What's the name of that? The baseball guy, Barry, something Barry, or what was the name of that guy that you traded the Osweiler for? Oh, we'll take on the Osweiler.
Oh, yeah, Andrew Barry.
Yeah, Andrew Barry. So I almost think like you're not going anywhere anyway.
I agree.
He's a commodity, and he's a guy that if certain offenses think, okay, we're close to Super Bowl, we need a franchise type guy, let's go get that guy. I think I know they're notoriously cheap, as I mentioned, but at this if you're not going anywhere, you have the cap space. My Lord, you print money like it's going. You print more money than the Federal Reserve in the NFL.
I'm with you.
I think you have to actually take the Cleveland route and be willing to swallow money. Yeah. So you can then absorb as many picks as possible.
I agree. To me, that's the answer forward, is that that's what they should do, is what Arizona should do, say, look, we'll eat some of the contract, and the more we eat, the better the pick. Now, I don't think they're getting anything. Like, I think their ceiling would be probably like a mid-round pick, right? Like a fourth-round pick or something. But if you're Arizona, you need that fourth-round pick. You need whatever you can get. Maybe, maybe even get a seventh or a fourth and a seventh or something. Okay, fine. I mean, it's better than what you've got. And you still save money against your cap. And you can roll that cap relief over into following years, and that opens up some space for you. I think for Arizona, you have to move him. Now, if he gets moved, which again, I believe he will, I still look at – now, Buffalo said that they're out. They're not involved. I still think the Giants make a ton of sense.
In the offseason, by the way, Bean kind of warned everybody about the fiscal issues.
They weren't going to do that yet.
Yeah, they kind of warned everybody. It's kind of like they kind of told you that, hey, bro, we're not going to have the kind of wallet and checkbook that you guys think we're going to have here, because when you actually hit on picks, you have to re-sign them, dude. Yes.
Well, so, I mean, hell, he was very open about the fact that the combine, he's like, the next 2 years, we're not signing guys. I mean, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to make big moves. So they're out, as at least what they say, on Hopkins. Now, where could he go? I always, 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 when you're talking about stars, look at the Cowboys and I'm like, okay, but they got Cook, so I don't think they make sense. They don't make the sense.
Ravens are the ones.
Ravens got their guys. The Giants make sense to me.
Oh, they drafted one too. That's right.
Yeah. The Giants, to me, make sense. The Giants make sense. Kansas City makes sense. Like, they now they took Rice in the second round. Let me say this. I do not think the Chiefs will go get Hopkins. I don't. But their number one receiver right now is Kadarius Toney or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now, of course, they have Kelce. So, like, he's really your number one receiver. But
it seems to me like they have big plans for Toney this year.
They have huge plans.
They're hoping he's – yeah, I think they're hoping to take that next step finally.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think they'll do it, because they do have – I mean, look, in the end, you know, they love Tony. MVS is a quality receiver. They have Kelsey, and then they drafted two guys in the second round each of the last year, 2 years. So I think they're probably set. If the Raiders cut Renfro, like, they've got a need. I mean, they have – who else is playing receiver for them other than Devontae Adams? So, you know, I know they brought in Jacoby Myers. Like, I get it. But Jacoby Myers is not DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, the Raiders are interesting. And they've been thrown around a little bit. In the end, I do think at some point here, if you're the Cardinals, you got to just trade to the team that gives you the best offer. You don't care if they're even in division, right? I mean, who cares? Right. You just got to get the best offer. I think they will move him, and I think they're going to end up just eating some of this contract. They're going to have to, because nobody's trading for him on 19.4. It's just not going to happen.
My boy, Jay Skursky, who covers the Buffalo Bills for many years for the Buffalo News. Do you know Jay?
I know who he is. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is.
Okay. So he wrote he wrote something, and I found it very interesting because it kind of made a lot of sense on Leslie Frazier, you know, taking a sabbatical. And if Leslie Frazier wants to become a head coach at his age, taking a sabbatical for a year off is kind of odd. He goes, it's hard to see how stepping away from the game for a year would benefit Frazier in his quest to become a head coach. With that in mind, it feels as if Frazier's decision to do so maybe wasn't his idea in the first place. That's just speculation on my part, because Frazier has curiously not offered up his side of the story. Perhaps one day that will change. But until it does, all we can do is speculate. And it did with the announcement was made that it still feels to me as if Frazier has coached his last game with the Bills. Your thoughts on that? Because that is kind of the defense did kind of underachieve last year. Yep. Okay. So, but it's kind of strange. Yeah. If Leslie really wants to be a head coach, taking a year off at this stage of his career, that's really weird. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he's having health issues, you know, nobody knows. But what do you think about that? Because that is kind of interesting what Jay brings up.
Well, you hear, I mean, look, you always have to be careful with this kind of stuff because you hear a lot of things. And my two cents on it is, I don't know if it's health related. If it is, and that's a private matter, and fair enough. But I think it's hard to take a year off and then he's just going to come back and step right in. I mean, he's not going to be a head coaching candidate after this year. He's not a coach anywhere right now. And I think if you're the Bills, like, you've now moved on, you know, with a year without that coach, are you just going to turn it right back over? Now, you could, in the sense that McDermott's basically going to run the defense this year. Now, and if McDermott's running the defense, I don't know that it's going to be that much different schematically than what Leslie Frazier's been doing. I mean, obviously, McDermott's the one who hired him. So I think they probably stay pretty similar. I'll tell you, I just think for the Bills, this is a weird year for the Bills. I really do feel that way. That's not to say I don't think they'll be good. I think they'll be very good. But I think last year was such an opportunity for them. And let's call it what it is. I mean, they fell on their face in the playoffs. There is no other way to put it.
Yeah.
And now you come into this season, your roster, unless your rookies are phenomenal, is not as good as it was a year ago. It's just not. I'm sorry. You're older in certain spots. Edmonds is gone. You didn't replace him with anybody. Von Miller's coming off a torn ACL. There is, other than just you love Dalton Kincaid, there is no argument that this roster is better than a year ago. Okay? So now you look at it, Miami's better. New York is much better with a real quarterback. The Bills have the hardest schedule, I believe, in football. Like, this is going to be a challenge. And you look around the AFC and Cincinnati, they lost their safeties. They replaced them to a degree. But like, in my eyes, they didn't get any worse. I mean, Kansas City didn't get any worse. I mean, these teams, like, you know, Jacksonville is on the come up, right? I mean, they're only going to get better, one would think. So I look at the Bills and I just think McDermott's now the head coach and he's essentially the defensive coordinator. How's that going to work? I mean, the Bills have had their issues in late game moments over the years at times where they've mismanaged clocks, they've mismanaged late game situations. And now you have a head coach who's also the defensive coordinator. I think they're still good, but I think there are real questions about the Bills. I think there are questions about the Bills that didn't exist the last couple of years. And I think there are really questions about the Bills, and you compare them to the other elite teams in the AFC that either are getting better or that like Cincinnati and Kansas City, I think pretty much stayed at the same level, but are teams that have won. I mean, Kansas City's won two Super Bowls. The Bengals have been to a Super Bowl. They've been to two AFC title games the last 2 years. They waxed Buffalo when they played them. The Bills have questions to answer, a lot of them. And I don't think that, you know, the McDermott coach and the defense should be overlooked.
So it also makes the head coach's job a lot harder if he has to also worry about one side of the ball. All right, Dougie Fresh, who's a fan of yours, by the way, he says, I'm a huge fan of his, but he's got a question for you. He says, you gave the Finns draft a D+, tied for worst in the league. What would you need to happen this year for you to retract that evaluation?
A couple of the guys to come out and play significant snaps and be productive. I mean, I think of all the picks, I mean, the one that would jump out at you would be, you know, the running back, right? I mean, he'd be the guy you look at and say, okay, maybe he comes in, he's really a player. But, I, you know, like we talked about on the show, I mean, really the grade was just based off the fact they had four picks. I mean, they had four picks, they were later on. I mean, it's just so hard to draft an impact class when you're not picking until, you know, basically everybody else has gone two or three times. I mean, it's just, it's a hard thing. It's kind of like the inverse. Like if Houston doesn't get an A or an A minus, then it's a colossal failure, right? I mean, you're drafting that high. Like you better get a really good grade because we're basing this off of what we think these players are going to be. And of course, I think Stroud's going to be a good quarterback. And I think Will Anderson's going to be a great edge rusher. Doesn't mean they're going to be. Maybe both of them are total busts, but that's what you're grading this off of. It's hard to draft in the top 5 or 10 picks if you have all your picks and get a really crappy grade. It happens occasionally, but it's hard. It's also really hard to draft, you know, 75th overall as your first pick, and you end up getting, you know, a high grade. And as we talked about, it all depends on how you look at it, too. The Dolphins use a lot of those high picks on players. If you're asking me if I think it made them a lot better, yeah. That's why, by the way, in their offseason report card, which we did for the whole – I did the whole AFC, but I did specifically for the AFC East. I think the Dolphins, like, an A-. Like, they had the highest grade of anybody in the division. Because I think overall they had a great offseason. It's just that when you draft so late, you have only four picks. It's just really hard to draft like major impact players.
And you guys aren't really using all the picks, what they did with them. And that's
just the picks they used in the draft itself.
Right, exactly. And by the way, let me take a guess here. This is like every other site. This is kind of editor driven anyways. It's not really what a writer wants to do because most of us that follow this, we know we really can't grade this stuff till 2 or 3 years down the line. So not that you want to throw any of your editors under the bus, but I've been in that world and they all want a mock draft and then they all want grades.
I think I had three picks correct.
Yeah.
Listen,
you're guaranteed to fail, bro.
I just put out my top 25 prospects for the draft next year. And it's online. It's on SI. I've tweeted it out. You can check it out. And I had fun doing it. But I talked to a lot of people who are around college football as I was kind of putting together this list. And I got the same answer. Like, look, the top 10 guys, 11 guys, whatever. Like, they're as long as they're healthy, they're no doubters. The rest of these guys, they could absolutely be top 25 picks. They could also fall to 100. I mean, that's just – it's just reality. And I think sometimes, like, people just expect – that you're always right with this. And it's like, it's football. Some guy might break out this year because he's in a new scheme and he transferred, or some guy put on 15 pounds of muscle, or some guy put on 15 pounds of fat. He's going to stink this year because he can't run. Like, it's just, but the fun of it is to me, like with this list, the top 25 prospects, it's a good idea to just, hey, familiarize yourself with these names. Know who these guys are. They could be first-round picks next year. And, yeah, there are guys at the top of the list like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Drake May and Caleb Williams who, like, yeah, they're going to be top-tier picks falling from disaster. But then there's a guy, like, I'll give an example. It's like Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, his quarterback. He was really just completely nondescript until last year. He had a great year for the Huskies. Like, if he does it again, you know, maybe he's a first-round pick. If he regresses, he might be some guys in the middle rounds. I don't know. But he's somebody to get to know, somebody to watch, right? And so that's kind of the idea of the whole thing.
Dude, mock drafts and grades for drafts are guaranteed failures. It's just the way it is. It just,
yes, they are.
You have full control over that. The guy could be drafted on the wrong team for the wrong scheme.
Could
and then
hurt.
He finds the right scheme 4 years later after his deal's up, and the entire city's calling him a bum, and then he goes somewhere else, and he shines forever. You know, like, okay, I thought Drew Brees, great pick for the Chargers. Well, no, it sucked, actually. It was actually a fantastic pickup for the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
Because that's where he found, you know, that's where Stella found her groove, in New Orleans, not in San Diego. You know, it's set up for failure. It's not even funny, dude. And like in the draft, like a mock draft, are you supposed to think like 32 people at that moment in time? Come on, bro. It's impossible, man. You know, it's crazy. All right. What do you got going on SI so folks can check you out?
All right. Well, I'm up in Green Bay right now. I was at OTAs yesterday. I had a sit down with Jordan Love, which was fun. He was an engaging, bright guy. And so that'll be a piece that's in the works. I won't come out tomorrow or anything, but I'm working on that. I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of time walking around Green Bay and talking to Packers fans and asking them how they felt about everything that's gone on with Aaron Rodgers. I think the answer is going to surprise a lot of people. It surprised me, frankly.
There was time to move on, huh? Time to move on.
A lot of people are not happy he's gone. I was
surprised. Really?
I was surprised. I was very surprised. And I'm writing that. Hell, I didn't go to dinner last night. I spent all night writing it. I'm actually getting there on that piece. So got those coming out. I've got
The unknown scares the shit out of people, dude.
Oh, and
the unknown. You don't know what Jordan Love's going to be. You absolutely don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to be. So when you're pushing Brett Favre out the effing door, and, you know, even if he's telling you for 3 years that he tells you, I don't know if I'm playing or this, that, and he leaves you in the lurch, it's still Brett freaking Favre.
That's right.
This Aaron Rodgers guy, well, he's sat there for 4 years, done nothing. How do we know if he's going to be the guy? And then now it's the same thing as Jordan Love. You know what I mean? It's like, yesterday I didn't do the show. I had a colonoscopy. For 24 hours before you do the colonoscopy, even though all blood tests, everything went fine. And by the way, everything went fine. But leading up to that test, the unknown, do you not think that in my mind and in everybody else's mind that is about to take a colonoscopy, the worst shit in your mind is going through there every single time because of the unknown? The unknown scares the hell out of us. I could have said shit because it would have been apropos. But anyway, the unknown scares the hell out of us. Okay. And the colonoscopy, the same thing here. And that's what I think you got from Green Bay fans. They don't know. They know what walks out the door. They don't know what's coming in.
It was very interesting. It was a lot of fun being up here. Right after I get done with this, I'm headed out. But it was fun. But yeah, I've got the top 25 prospects out today. I will next week. We're starting a ranking series where I'm going to list the top 10 quarterbacks. I've got the top 10 receivers, top 10 O linemen. I can tell you right now, the Dolphins are going to populate the receivers list, and might populate the quarterback list. Top 10. I mean,
baby. So By the way,
can Green Bay handle the NFL draft, dude?
You know what? I will tell you this.
500,000 people going to do there, bro.
I think that Green Bay is going to get creative with it. I actually do. But I think it's going to have to be a celebration of, like, this area, not just Green Bay. Because Green Bay has got about 100,000 people in it. And hotel, I mean, look, you're going to need Oshkosh to be involved and Appleton to be involved. And let me tell you this. If you are considering coming up here for the draft, I will tell everybody right now, there's a place about 90 minutes away from Green Bay, I think east of Green Bay, Door County. It is on the peninsula. It is gorgeous. You want to come up here and spend like a weekend with your wife? I do it every year. I go up there every year with my wife. You can't. I mean, it is beautiful. You can. Really? There's so much to do. Oh, my God. It's a hidden gem. So if you're thinking about it, you're like, I can bring, make a weekend of it, bring my wife. That's where to go. That is an awesome place. And it's literally from Green Bay. It's like 90 minutes.
Okay. So, all right.
Door County. Door County, Wisconsin. Shameless plug that I get nothing out of, but that's okay.
That's all right. That's our lives. We get nothing out of it. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam and catch him every week here doing his thing. Matt, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you immensely.
Hey, glad everything went well yesterday. Take care, everybody.
Tell me about it. Be good, my brother. There you go. Sports Grill, baby. Yes, sir. Hey, tonight, We got the hockey game going on. Come on, man. Panthers looking to seal it up. Great place to go is at Sports Grill. They've got all kinds of things going on. Today's Wednesday. Kids eat free with the purchase of an adult entree. You can take the hot sauces home, like the Buffalo sauce, the Miami Heat, the Blackberry, the barbecue, the Dale. The Doral store is in. It is absolutely awesome. Check it out. Sports Grill, baby. Go watch the Heat game. Go watch the Panthers game. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the friends, the family at sportsgrill.com.